Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman, and I'm thrilled that you are part of this program. To mark the completion of Sifrei Nevi'im, we are creating a Siyum scroll, an online place to recognize your accomplishment, as well as hosting several live events. Please check out the details at ou.org/women/Siyum. Again, ou.org/women/Siyum. Mazel tov on this meaningful accomplishment and much continued hatzlacha on your future learning. Please consider donating to support this valuable programming at ou.org/women/donate. And now to today's perek.
Hello, my name is Marcy Stern. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Zechariah, Perek Yud Dalet, Chapter 14. In our last class, when we learned Perek Yud Gimel, Chapter 13, we discussed the description of Yushalayim Lati Lavo. The Pasuk said, Bayom Hahu, Yiyeh Makor Nivtach Levet David Uliyoshve Yerushalayim. On that day, a spring opened up for the house of David and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. A water spring will come forth from the Beit HaMikdash and spread throughout Yerushalayim that will purify the people, either literally or figuratively, from their sins and false beliefs. Yerushalayim is the water source of truth, with the Beit HaMikdash at its epicenter. The parak ended with a stark description of the fall of the enemies. Two-thirds of them will be cut off, while one-third will survive only to undergo a purifying process. Upon its conclusion, only those deserving amongst either the Goyim who wanted to convert or to some Mefarshim, the Jews, will remain. To them, Hashem says, Amihu, the response, Hashem Elokai, Hashem is our God. Perek Yud Dalet, chapter 14, is the Haftorah for the first day of Sukkot. The Perek begins, the Mappim says, by describing the third of the wars of Melchemet Gog Umagog. The first two wars are described in Prakim Lamed Chet and Lamed Tet in Sefer Yecheskel, and have been referenced in the last few Prakim in Zechariah that we learned together. In this third war, the enemy actually breaks into Yerushalayim. Let's read the first two psukim. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Hine yom ba l'Hashem v'chulak shlalech b'kirbech. A day that is dear to Hashem is coming, says Rashi, for all the nations will come to see his greatness and his might. But, the Radak says, your spoils will be divided up in your midst. This day, which initially will be very difficult, the Jewish nation's wealth, its beauty, will be divided up by its enemies attacking the city. Pasuk Beis, Va'asafti et kol hagoyim el Yerushalayim la'milchama v'nokada ha'ir. And I will gather all of the goyim to Yerushalayim to war, and the city will be captured. V'nashasu habatim v'hanashim tishakavna. The houses will be pillaged, the women violated. V'yatza chatzi ha'ir bagola, v'yeter ha'am lo yikaret. Half will go out into exile, but the rest will not be eliminated. Hashem, explains the Radak, will influence the hearts of the goyim to come to war in Yerushalayim again. Terrible pain and destruction will follow. Half will be forced out of Yerushalayim to the tents of the enemy camping around the city walls. This all being part of the purification process described at the end of the last parak. The other half of the Jewish inhabitants of the city will remain in the city, and Hashem will not allow the enemy to destroy them. Rather, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, V'yatsa Hashem v'nocham b'goyim ha'heim. And Hashem will come out and he will war with these goyim. Ki yom hi lachamo biyom krav, like he waged war on the day of the battle. The Mefarshim explain, Hashem will emerge and fight the goyim just as he fought the Egyptians B'Yom Krav at the Yam Suf, the Red Sea. Radak, quote, Ki az hayu Yisrael b'tzara gedola, because then the Jews were in great, great pain. Ki hem mitzrim hayu rodfim achareihem, the Egyptians were running after them. Va'amar lahem Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom, and Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, quote, Hashem yilachem lachem, va'atem tacharishum. In Shmos Yudalad, the pasuk says, Hashem will fight for you, and you shall be quiet. V'chein amar heina, and so the Radak says, it says here in our pasuk, v'nilcham v'goyim ha'heim, Hashem will come forth, and he will fight the goyim. And then, the most extraordinary pasuk, and I say, dare say famous pasuk, pasuk dalad, V'amdu raglav b'yom ha'hu al har ha'zeitim asher al p'nei Yerushalayim mikedem. And his feet will stand on that day on the Mount of Olives to the east. V'nifka har ha'zeitim michetzio mizracha v'yama. And har ha'zeitim will split open at its middle, the east to the west. Gei gedola ma'od, forming a very wide valley, umash chatzi ha'har tzafona v'chetzion negba. Half the mountain will move to the north and half to the south, allowing this valley to expand. Hashem's feet will stand on har ha'zeitim, a figurative way of describing Hashem's intervention, says Radak and Metzudat David, and cause an incredible nace to occur, the splitting of har ha'zeitim and the advent of a deep valley that will become a path through which the captives will escape, says Metzudat David. Pasuk Beit, V'nastem kasher nastem mipnei harash b'yemei Uzziyahu melech Yehuda. Excuse me, Pasuk Hey, verse 5. And they will run as the Jews ran in panic during the famous earthquake that occurred, you may remember, during the reign of Uzziyahu, during the first temple. Uzziyahu, the king, had sinned by acting inappropriately as a Kohen, bringing a ketores, an incense, in the Beit HaMikdash. Hashem showed his complete disapproval of the king acting like this, acting as a Kohen, even though he was a king, by bringing an earthquake that shook to the very foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, and by smiting him with tzoraas, leprosy. Rav Wolf in his Sefer Nevi'ei Emet points out so beautifully that there are three earthquakes mentioned in Tanakh. The first, at Mamad Har Sinai, as Hashem brought down his Shechina in our midst. The second, during the days of Uzziyahu and the Navi Yeshaya, occurred when the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash begins to take hold and the Shechina, his presence, begins to remove itself from our midst. The third time is our description here of Milchemet Gog u'Magog, the war of Gog u'Magog, when the earthquake will mark the return of the Shechina. At the sight and sound of the splitting of har ha'zeitim, B'nai Yisrael will be confused and not sure if this is a sign of day, salvation, or night, destruction, the Metzudas David explains. The Navi describes this incredible day as, Pasuk Zion, verse 7, V'haya yom echad hu yivada la'Hashem, lo yom v'lo laila, v'haya la'et erev yihyeh or. This will be a special day that will be known as Hashem's day, for it is the day that Hashem's might and miracles are revealed to the world. It is not day, figuratively speaking, meaning free of tzaros, nor night, totally one full of tzaros or horror. But at the end of the day, there will be light, there will be clarity. V'yetzei Hashem menelcham bagoyim, kol kadoshim imach. Hashem, will come out and fight on our behalf against the Goyim with his holies. Hashem will fight along with the Malachim and bring the total salvation. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim points out that these Kedoshim, holy ones, are none other than the prophets. All the Haftachot, the promises, via the Nevi'im, will now take place. Pasuk Chet, verse 8. V'haya b'yom ha'hu, yetzu mayim chayim me'Yerushalayim. And on that day, spring water will come out from Yerushalayim. Chetziyam el hayam ha'kadmoni, half will flow to the east sea. V'chetziyam el hayam ha'acharon, and half will flow to the west sea. Bakayitz uvachorev yiyah. This will be in the summer and the winter. The spring water we spoke about in our last perek, the Makor Niftach Levet David, will gain strength and will now flow out of Yerushalayim via the split in Har HaZeitim towards the Kinneret Yam HaMelech in the east, says Radak, and the Mediterranean to the west, or, as others interpret it, from ocean to ocean. The water will never freeze in the winter, nor dry up in the summer heat. The belief in Hashem will spread forth from Yerushalayim to the entire world. And then the pasuk we all know and recognize, pasuk tet, verse 9. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, b'yom ha'hu yiyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. When the Goyim that came upon Yerushalayim seen the miracles described here, they will finally understand that Hashem is Mashkiach Batachtonim, the Radak says. He is not a removed deity, but rather the master of the world who is in control of the natural world as well. In his words, V'oseh bahem kirtzono, that Hashem does with nature as he wills. Hofech la'asot ritzon yirei'av ki hakol ma'aseh yadav. Hashem, that can change everything, even in the natural world, bend it towards his will, because they were created by him. Chazal tell us that we know and we learn that Hashem's name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, is not to be read as it is written, except under certain circumstances, such as on Yom Kippur, in the service in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and during Birchat Kohanim. At the time of the ultimate redemption, V'haya Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz, b'yom ha'hu yiyah Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Then his name will be one. There will be one name for Hashem, the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, that will be read as it is written. The Rambam Memor Nevuchim explains that the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is not a description of his attributes as the other names of Hashem are, for instance, Elohim or Kel Shakai, but this name connotes his very essence. The whole land will then turn into a plain, as Pasuk Yud says, Yisov Kol Ha'aretz Ka'arava. The land around Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael will become flat, so that Yerushalayim will stand out as the towering and glorious center of truth. Pasukid Aleph, V'yashvuva, and the Jews will live there. V'cherem lo yiyeh od. The Jews will dwell in Yerushalayim forever, the Radak says. And then the most important awaited words, V'cherem lo yiyeh od, she'lo tiyeh l'cherem u'l'churban la'olam. That Yerushalayim will never be devastated and will never be destroyed again. And then the parak concludes with the section that is obviously the reason this parak was picked to be read on the first day of Sukkot. Pasuk Tet Zayin. V'haya kol hanotar mikol hagoyim haba'im al Yerushalayim. All those that are left over from the fighting in Jerusalem, who had come to invade Yerushalayim. Va'alu midei shana v'shana lihishtachavot l'melech Hashem Tzvakot. This remainder will come up yearly to bow down to Hashem. V'lachog et Chag HaSukkot, and to celebrate the festival of Sukkot. V'chol hanotar, all that remain alive, deemed worthy to survive, will come up to the Mikdash on Sukkot. Why on Sukkot? The Marikra explains, because on Sukkot we are judged as to how much water we will be blessed with that year, and so they come. The Radak explains that it was this time of the year that these miracles occurred that the Goyim saw. And so they return at this time yearly and offer sacrifices to Hashem. Rimsham Shemafol Hirsch famously connects the coming of the Goyim to Yerushalayim on Sukkot in a particularly fascinating way. And allow me to quote. In Zechariah, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Tet Zayin, the psukim that we just read, all the efforts of the nations using their power to fight against connections with Hashem and his laws end up with them acknowledging Hashem as the Melech, the king, and coming to Yerushalayim to celebrate Sukkot each year. More, we dare to express the thought, in Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Chet, verse Lamed Tet, the leading head of the last fight against Hashem and his rules and a management on earth is called Gog. It does not seem far-fetched to recognize in the name of the idea of a building a roof from Gagag. And thereby, at once we see the contrast to Sukkah, the unstable, weak covering of foliage. Indeed, the content of the whole history of the world could be understood in this contrast, so says Rav Hirsch. One erroneous illusion leads mankind astray. Just as they are given the power to use their own strength to fix the boundaries of their own sphere and make it safe and sure against their earthly contemporaries by strongly building artificial walls, so do they imagine they have to use their power to make themselves safe against Hashem and the influences of his power. They think they can take their fate in their own hands and can crown the building up of human greatness by gabled roofs, rendering them independent of Hashem. It is the battle of the Gog, the roof, against the Sukkah, the fight of the roof illusion of human greatness, which never allows man to come to repose, against the Sukkah truth of cheerful confidence and quietness, which putting one's trust in Hashem's protection grants. World history started with Migdal Bavel, with the building of a tower towering up to the heavens by the self-worship of human power, and ends with a happy, harmonious human life on earth, building booths, acknowledging Hashem. Sefer Zecharia ends with the redemption of Yerushalayim. The spiritual influence of the Beit HaMikdash will have on all of the inhabitants of Yerushalayim and well beyond. All nations will recognize the part Hashem plays in their lives. The will of Hashem and his Torah will reign supreme. Our connection to Hashem is restored. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yom ha'hu, yiyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. And on that day, Hashem will be one and his name will be one. Thank you for learning together. As we are Messiah, we conclude Sefer Zecharia. Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.